Well, our lesson this morning comes from James chapter 1, verses 2 through 18. James describes himself as being a slave of God and the Master, writing to the 12 tribes scattered to kingdom come. Hear God's word. Consider it a sheer gift, my friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed and not deficient in any way. If you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get his help and won't be condescended to when you ask for it. Ask boldly, believingly, without a second thought. People who worry their prayers are like wind-whipped waves. Don't think you're going to get anything from the Master that way, adrift at sea and keeping all your options open. When down-and-outers get a break, cheer. And when the arrogant rich are brought down to size, cheer. Prosperity is as short-lived as a wildflower, so don't ever count on it. You know that as soon as the sun rises, pouring down its scorching heat, the flower withers. Its petals wilt, and before you know it, that beautiful face is a barren stem. Well, that's a picture of the prosperous life. At the very moment everyone is looking on it in admiration, it fades away to nothing. Anyone who meets a testing challenge head-on and manages to stick it out is mighty fortunate. For such persons loyally in love with God, the reward is life and more life. So don't let anyone pressure you to give in to evil and say, God is trying to trip me up. God is impervious to evil and puts evil in no one's way. The temptation to give in to evil comes from us and only us. We have no one to blame but the leering, seducing flare-up of our own lust. Well, lust gets pregnant and has a baby, sin. Sin grows up to adulthood and becomes a real killer. So, my very dear friends, don't get thrown off course. Every desirable and beneficial gift comes out of heaven. The gifts are rivers of light cascading down the Father of light. There is nothing deceitful about God, nothing two-faced, and nothing fickle. He brought us to life using the true word, showing us off as the crown of all his creatures. May God give us understanding of his holy word, and let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. Okay, let me get this right. I'm supposed to consider it a gift when bad things happen. In fact, as one scripture describes it, I'm supposed to count it all joy. The times that are rough, that are difficult, the times when I feel like I'm thrown to the floor, the times when I'm in pain, the times when I'm suffering, I'm supposed to count that as a gift and as joy. I guess if it were written by somebody else other than James, I might take it differently, but James had his own struggles, as did all the disciples in that time. And they knew what they were talking about because they lived it. And though it may not seem like it at the time, you and I also learn how to count it as joy by coming through it. That's not easy. But there's nowhere in these scriptures that says it's going to be easy. So I wonder why we expect it will be. I'm reminded about the story about a giraffe. Did you know that baby giraffes, when they are born, that the mama giraffe comes over and kicks them to get them to stand on their feet? Can you imagine kicking your baby? It's true. It's called, written in a book called View from the Zoo. And Gary Richmond tells about how when they're born, that the first thing that emerges is the baby's hooves. And when they're dropped and they're down on the ground, the mom's coming over and she's kicking them. And when they stand up, she kicks them again and knocks them down so that they can get up again so they remember it. Does that sound like a motherly thing to do? And yet, it is a kind thing, believe it or not, because living in the jungle as they do, those babies, they are continually at risk unless they are able to move quickly. So the smartest thing that mama can do, the most loving thing that mama can do, is to teach that baby giraffe to get on his feet and get moving and to know how to get back up when he falls. In a way, we're like those baby giraffes. We need those kicks now and then to teach us how to get back on our feet when we fall. We need those kicks now and then to teach us that we can get up when we fall. Because in this lifetime, we're going to fall many, many times. And not just Peggy, not just your sister, and not just me. There are different ways of falling. And we all struggle over and over. This morning, I want to share with you some stories of people who have fallen and who have gotten up. People who have shared our confusion and our questions, but who have somehow found their answers. One of those is a young boy who lived over 200 years ago. He was in very poor health. He was small, he was sick, he was puny. And you know, they didn't have the medicines back then that we have today. And so he would sit in his room and he would look outside and he would see all these kids out there playing with the balls, having a good time. And he would feel, as you might imagine, such depression and such frustration and such a sense of hopelessness. Because what could he do? They were all out there enjoying themselves. He was stuck in his room by himself. Life was not exactly what you'd call fun, and he didn't know where to turn or what to do. Well, as time went on, he felt a calling to ministry. In his suffering, he found God, and he wanted to serve in some way and transform it and use it as a way to help others who are suffering. But he found that that same disability that made it difficult for him to go out and play and live a normal life as a child also got in his way of being a pastor. He just didn't have the strength. He just didn't have the energy. And so he got so discouraged, and it was very hard for him not to feel sorry for himself. He would ask, well, why can't I be like other people? They've got their health and I don't. They can do things with their lives and I can't. They're out there making a difference and I'm just sitting here, unable to make any difference at all. Why can't I be like them? Well, apparently, one day, someone had a lengthy talk with him and helped him to see things just a little bit differently. You see, a lot of times, we're so busy looking at what other people are doing that it makes us feel worse by comparison. And that's exactly what he was doing as well. He didn't realize that the God who created all these others created him. And the God who created him had a unique purpose for him that was perhaps totally unlike the purpose that he had for all these other people that he was looking at. And sure enough, he did have a very unique purpose for him. This young guy that I was talking about, his name is Isaac Watts, who turned out to be one of the greatest bonnie-nose, one of the greatest hymn writers of all time. Any of you ever sung Joy to the World? Isaac Watts wrote that song, Joy to the World. He also wrote, O God, our help in ages past. He had to go through what he went through for a purpose. And each of us has a unique purpose and goes through unique things to get us to that purpose. So in those times when you're feeling despair and you're feeling alone and you're feeling lost, you don't need to. Because everything that is happening in your life is moving you in a direction. a direction for you to realize the promise that God has placed in you. I want to share another story. Sometimes we think that as we get older, especially, life should get better, right? We've paid our dues, we've done all these things, it ought to get easier. No, it doesn't get easier, and we're not done until we're in the ground. And I want to give you a great example. All of you know that I'm a huge Thomas Edison fan. I did not realize that when Edison was 67 years old, he had one of those experiences that you really don't want to happen. He put in all this work, done so many great things. He had this fabulous lab. And one day he wakes up and he's watching as this lab is burning to the ground. Amazingly, staring at it, he says to his son, "Go get your mother and do it quickly, because she's never going to see a spectacular fire like this one again." Can you imagine? That's why I love this guy. Because he's exactly right on. He did not waste a single second. I'm sure he had a moment thinking, "Oh, great. But hey, it's burning. It is what it is." You and I, we see fires in our lives all the time. How often are we able to respond that way? How often are we able to detach ourselves from stuff and things and trust that all is well? Well, interestingly enough, the family all came out. They watched as everything went up in flames. The next day, he pulled all of his staff and his people together. After a good night's sleep, amazingly, he slept quite well that night. And as he looked around at his staff, and they were all, as you can imagine, looking pretty full of despair, pretty depressed. And he said, "We will begin again. Not only that, but we'll do it even better." See, that's one of the things about these lessons. As things are wiped out, things are taken away, we have an opportunity to come back stronger and to do it even better. And that's what he chose to do. And later on, as he was walking around the fire site, looking at all the charred embers and how little was left, he actually came across a picture of himself. What was interesting is the picture itself was untouched. It was just charred around the four edges. And as he picked it up and he looked at it and he turned to his son, he said, "The fire destroyed the outside, but it didn't destroy the inside." That's for us too. The fires in our world, the trials and things that we go through in our world, they may impact the outside, but they can't touch the inside unless we let them. I was just joking this morning of how many of us have canes. And there are a lot of us who have seen the challenges that our bodies give us. That's just the reality of life. It doesn't change. Every single one of us, no matter what age, we will go through these challenges. But we've got to remember, it may damage the outside, but it can't get to the inside unless we let it. I want to share another story with you. Many of you are fans of the writer Philip Yancey. He's written a number of books, and one of them that he was working on was called Disappointment with God. He knew that a lot of people have gone through a lot of challenges, and there are those who hit those challenges and who allow their faith to just evaporate. And he wanted to listen and hear those stories. So he was seeking out people who had been through difficult times, trying to recreate modern day Jobs, if you will. Well, there was one gentleman that he'd heard about that he knew had quite a story, because this man had been through more than any of us can even imagine. His name was Douglas, and his troubles began some years ago when his wife discovered a lump in her breast. And surgeons removed it. She seemed to be doing okay until a couple years later when the cancer went to her lungs. And so he took over many of the duties around the house, tried to take care of her, but it was rough. One day he and his daughter and his wife were in a car and they're driving along and they're in this terrible accident. They're hit by a drunk driver. And fortunately his wife seemed to come out okay. His daughter had a broken arm and some other injuries, but she seemed to be okay. And he actually came out the worst of it. He came out with some head injuries and other things and that left him with these horrible headaches that would show up all the time and also difficulty with one eye that wouldn't focus, so he had a double vision. Couldn't even make it up and down stairs without help. One of his big loves was reading, but he couldn't read more than a page or two before the headaches would start. It was a recipe for a not very happy future. Yancey sat down at lunch with him and they talked and so he was asking about his feelings and Douglas answered. He said, "You know, to tell you the truth, Philip, I don't feel any disappointment with God." Now that really amazed Philip Yancey because he'd heard all these stories from all these people and here was this man whose story was rougher than any of them that he'd heard, and yet he could say, in spite of it, "I feel no disappointment with God." And he went on to say, the reason is this. "I learned first through my wife's illness and then especially through the accident not to confuse God with life." Hear that again. Not to confuse God with life. He says, "I'm no stoic. I'm as upset about what happened to me as anyone could be. I feel free to curse the unfairness of life and to vent all my grief and anger. But I believe that God feels the same way about that accident, grieved and angry, and I don't blame him for what happened. I've learned to see beyond the physical reality of this world to the spiritual reality. We tend to think that life should be fair because God is fair, but God is not life. And if I confuse God with the physical reality of life by expecting constant good health, for example, then I set myself up for crashing disappointment. And unfortunately, a lot of the pain that people feel and disappointment in life is because they can't separate out God and life. And because they feel that a fair God should make everything in their life conform to what they think is fair and easy and good. And it doesn't work that way. And what you may be noticing in some of these stories is that each of these people who have gone through these very difficult circumstances come through bigger, brighter, better. That's tough to grasp, especially for those of us who still would really like to think that our life is going to be easy. This morning, I couldn't help but think about one other life. Some of you may have read in the paper about the young girl, just 25 years old, who was arrested for, she'd won the lottery. She won $1 million. She'd been on food stamps, and she was arrested and convicted because she continued to accept the food stamps. Can you believe it? But that's not the saddest part of the story. The saddest part of the story is that yesterday she was found dead of an overdose. For those of you who think that money is a solution, it's not. For those of you who think that having things easy is a solution, it's not. It's not. So what is? I want to close with a little bit about Viktor Frankl. Now, Viktor Frankl, some of you know, was a prisoner in a Nazi concentration camp. Doesn't get too much rougher than that. And he wrote an amazing book about his experience called Man's Searching for Meaning. And in that book, he shared, "Everything can be taken away from man but one thing. The last of all human freedoms, the freedom to choose. Every person can choose how they will face the troubles of life. We have the power to choose our attitude in any given set of circumstances. If anyone has a why to live, they can endure anyhow. We are all given choices. And what that means is that when we get hit by these things that we would never choose, when our circumstances are overwhelming, when we feel the sense of suffering, when we feel the sense of despair, we still have hope in God, and we can still choose how we will face those circumstances. As you know, God has chosen from time to time to allow me to face a couple of challenges here and there. And I can say with total truth, there has not been one situation that God has not blessed me. Now, I've got to tell you that with the most recent one with my feet, I was beginning to wonder, because the pain can wear away, can wear you down. There's no doubt about it. And some of you know that. Many of you sitting right in this room, you know. There are these things that can wear you down and wear you down. But we have the ability to choose. And as God has opened that up, He's shown me so many new opportunities that wouldn't happen in any other way. Opportunities not just to grow myself, opportunities not just to change more myself, but opportunities even, again, to see how I can help others, see how I can spread and share. There is hope in everything. No matter what you're going through right now, no matter how discouraged you may feel, you will come through this. You will come through better. You will come through stronger. And you will come through grateful. You can believe that. Don't give up that power to choose. Let us pray. Almighty God, it's not a matter of if we will have challenges in our lives. They will come. But Lord, we pray that you will give us the strength to embrace the challenges, to face them, to learn from them, to grow, and to get back on our feet. Guide us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.